Please read with me three or four verses in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1. Kind of like to go back to some of the real basics of the gospel of Christ and try to be very explicit, very clear tonight as it relates to the way of salvation. God helps to do so, and may it reinforce all that our brother said concerning man's lost condition and God's remedy for us. Please notice Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul is the writer, and he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Really what this means is the cultured, the Greeks, you see, they boasted of their culture, and the barbarians, they were the uncultured. They were the ones who were the type of people that Paul was moving against for much of this time, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me as I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The Greek here being the Gentile nations. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, that is, as it is written in the Old Testament, the just shall live by faith. Now I'd like to perhaps say a word or two, and in essence, first of all, of what the gospel is. And really the word gospel, the root meaning of that very word is good news. Good news. I think we can all agree that we need lots of that. And wouldn't you wonder why so many people would turn their back on the gospel of Christ, when indeed it's the good news concerning Christ. That's what it is that Paul said he's debtor. He felt the burden, the responsibility, the debt that he had to all those around him to preach the gospel. And he said, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, the wise and the unwise, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. This is the good news. I wonder why it falls on so many deaf ears. I think our brother answered the question. The reason that it falls on deaf ears and disinterested hearts is that mankind doesn't realize how bad off he is. He doesn't realize the danger he's living in day by day. And he doesn't realize that the Bible says, after death, the judgment. It's just like the man on the beach. And you've done it, I have done it. We splash into the water and enjoying the water. We don't give any thought to the lifeguard. And there perhaps if you're on a beach where there is a lifeguard, he's at a post and he's watching that whole beach and he's watching for problems. Why, you don't give him a thought until you get into trouble. Or if you started to drown. And then of course, then you've got an appreciation for the lifeguard. Just like our brother was saying, there's the doctor in the office, and he's offering a service to the community to heal the sick. We really don't think about him, really, until we get sick. And that's what our Lord meant when he said, they that are whole, those that are healthy, need not a physician, but they that are sick. It's when your house starts to burn down, you start to worry about how far away the fire rails are. and the firemen, and you appreciate them. When your house comes under danger of being destroyed with fire. Now that's why the gospel falls on deaf ears. If people realize that they have that sickness, and they're in that very real and imminent danger, there would be certainly be an appreciation for the good news of the gospel. You know, in many ways, when we're preaching the gospel, much of what we have to say really is an emphasis on the bad news. Because it's not until, unfortunately, individuals realize the bad news that they do indeed appreciate the good news. And I like to illustrate it, one more illustration, and I've used it often. But if you've been to the doctor, pardon me, had you picked up a newspaper and you had read that there was a cure for some loathsome, obscure illness, and that the medical profession had established that there was indeed a bona fide cure for that illness, I'm sure you'd read that with a certain amount of interest, but only moderately so, because you're healthy. But what a difference it would be if you'd been to visit the doctor and come out of the clinic, and he had told you that you had this strange, a rare, loathsome disease. Now you see the difference when you pick the paper up and read that indeed, here's the Mayo Clinic, and they've confirmed that they can cure that disease. Well, then, of course, you see the appreciation for the good news that's written in the paper. Listen, friend, in the meeting tonight, you've got that bad disease. We're born with it. And I assure you from the Scriptures and Holy Writ, there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of God's glory. And God's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Make no mistake about it. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, and then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The Bible tells us that all our righteousnesses, listen now, not all our sins or our mistakes, not all our meannesses and jealousies and envies, and not all our gossips and backbitings. No, all our righteousnesses, all the very best we can do, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. And God's like, that's the way he sees it. Because the Bible says that God seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now I'm not throwing stones. Listen, it's just that I've been there. And I've been in the appreciation of the good news. Because when I say that the heart is deceitful, man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. My, you wouldn't want your heart reflected on that wall for all to see tonight. Not one of us. Because again, the Bible says, as faith answers to faith in water, so the heart of man to man. And if we looked at your heart on the wall, I'd just be seeing my own. Because there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is why we have to emphasize bad news. That is going, you getting up on Monday morning and going to work. and putting in his 8 hours a day, and he's going to the office or the shop or the school, making his way to the marketplace and the mall, and he doesn't know that he's going to hell. He doesn't know that every breath he takes is in defiance against the thrice holy God, to whom we're all responsible. And I want to emphasize that, because this world is going mad in their stupidity and their rebellious heart. They're getting the idea that you just form whatever your God is, you take him home with you. Your God go with you. What a contemptible statement. I want to tell you that the Bible says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. There's not one God for the Europeans and one God for the North Americans and another one for the South Americans. We all have exactly and precisely the same parents. Just have to go back far enough. And we all have exactly and precisely the same need. And the need, that great need we have, is the gospel of Christ. I'm going to tell you the reason that the world is in the trouble it's in, and why we have poverty, and why we have famine, and why we have pestilence, and why we have wars, is because the world has said, and they stood before him, and they said, away with him. Away with this man. We'll not have this man to reign over us. That's the language of the human heart. Your heart, my heart, no difference. You're not one bit better than I am, not a fraction. The Bible says all the same. There's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of what God requires. I know you look pretty good when you compare yourself with your neighbor and your workmate. You can always find someone you think you shape up pretty good. But God says there's no difference because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need this gospel. The world's and nations need it. Why do you suppose there's wars? I mean, Christ came, and he came, and he came to come in victory and set all things right, and to reign in righteousness. And we put him on a cross, or would have none of him at all. And there's a usurper on that throne. And that's why you have all your trouble in the world, and all your sin, and all your wars, and all the strife. Christ is going to come back again and put all that right. But in the meantime, the gospel goes forth, and he appeals to the individual. In John's gospel, we read this word, these words, that Christ was in the world, listen, lovely words, and the world was made by him. He came unto his own. No, I quote it again. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Wouldn't recognize it. He came unto his own. That is his own things and his own nation, Israel. And his own received him not. He won him. But, here's the message of the gospel. Listen now. Nations reject him. Historically, the world has said no. So he comes to the individual now, you and I, one on one. And he says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the delegated authority to become the sons of God. To them that have believed on his name. Oh, what a message in the gospel. Listen, friend, if you're sitting on that seat and you're in your sin and in your sins and you have no assurance of everlasting life whatsoever, and if I was to ask you, why ball, if you died tonight, how would it be with your soul? You wouldn't know how to answer it. You'd be embarrassed. Many's the person I've asked. If you died tonight, where would your soul be? Mature in otherwise intelligent human beings have dropped their eyes and said, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I hope. I think. Every believer on the Lord Jesus Christ can tell you on the assured authority of the Word of God that if he died tonight, he'd go to heaven. Because there was a time when he received Christ. And the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God. That idea of the right, the delegated authority, it's like a person going to adopt a child. And the papers are going to be signed, and you are legally going to be made his. And that's what God does for us. That's the gospel. Now I want to notice quickly the person and the prestige of the gospel. Listen, if we were just given this good news message and it was about another religion, put it in the garbage can for all the rest of them. This is the gospel of Christ. And this is the highest personage in all the universe of God Almighty. For he is God manifest in flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. John's gospel says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without him was not anything made that was made. Listen. And the Word became flesh. It's a lot to believe. It really is. That Almighty God of the eternal being of the universe would take upon him the likeness of sinful flesh. And the Bible tells us that's what happened. It says that being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was the only way that he could die. It's the only way that sin could be atoned for and properly and adequately dealt with. What a prestigious message to preach to the people that Christ has come and that he's the sinner. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, all things were made by him. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That was the one who died on the cross for me.
That was the one our brother was quoting that said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me?" And the words of my roaring, it's because he was bearing my sin. This message absolutely surpasses human thought. Human thought is here confounded, the poet said. And you can scare people are going out worrying about what they're going to wear tomorrow, where they're going to get the car fixed, and about their education. My friend, you've got a soul. And I'll tell you, there's people here that love that soul of yours. Not the way we should. We're only half as interested as we should be. I'll be honest with you. But I tell you, God is interested in that soul. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The person, the prestige of the gospel, the power and the purpose. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Doesn't leave anybody out. This is the dynamite of God. This is the message God uses and doesn't use anything else. I don't care what the other story is or what the other message is. This is the gospel message. Here it is. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You read it. The first three or four verses there. Paul says, "I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day, according to the scriptures." That's the gospel. I haven't got any better message to preach. When we're standing here and telling people that they're sinners, and that they're guilty sinners, and not only that, but they're helpless and hapless and hopeless. That's bad news. But the good news is the gospel, and the gospel is simply this, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. I got saved to that verse. And the preacher said, "Christ died for our sins." Now he said, what does that mean? Who's that it's talking about? Christ died for our sins. Tell me what you see there. And I said, I see here. I said, this means that Christ died for everybody's sins, the whole world. Yes, he said, that's true. I could believe that and go to hell believing that. He says, but there's something more personal. Can you not see something more personal in that message? And then I got it. Christ died for my sins. Ah, that's salvation. That's when the great transaction takes place. That's when the sinner passes from light and darkness into light. That's when he passes from death into life. When he comes to the realization that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross in shame and weakness and defeat, was dying for me. The Bible says the preaching of the cross, 'tis to them that perish foolishness. It's not according to human reason. Man would never have planned it this way, but God did. But he says to us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Then he says that he's ready to preach the gospel to those that are at Rome also. I'm going to have to close. Just one few remarks on this. Won't keep you too long. The preaching. This is what God has designed. That in this way, we should hear the message. Now, God being who he is, I'm sure could have done many things. He could have made the very stones to speak. Who says so? More probably, he would have sent angels to declare the message. But he sends redeemed sinners. Those who know what it is to feel the guilt and conviction of sin. And the desperateness of their own situation. And have come into an appreciation for the work of Christ. And know what it is to thrill to the knowledge of sins forgiven. And they're the ones that he uses to preach the gospel. I say it reverently, but we can do it better than the angels could. Because they've never known sin. Never known guilt. Haven't joyed at redemption. We can affiliate so readily because we've been there. We just say as one redeemed sinner, say it to another sinner, to come and trust Christ. He says he's ready to reach the gospel to you which are at Rome also. That's his presentation. I'm going to tell you this. Paul had preached it, you know, in the prison at Philippi. He preached it in the corridors of Corinth, where sin abounded. He'd been to Ephesus. He'd been to Athens. He'd been on many points in between. He'd been to Antioch and in Jerusalem. And now he's going to go to Rome. Something special about Rome because they ruled the world then. Now he's going to Imperial Rome, where the seat of the whole Caesars sits and all the rest of it. And going to see what Paul, he's going to preach now. You know what he's going to preach? Exactly the same message. I want to assure you, I know some of the things I've said down there have been pretty straight. Maybe they've cut a little bit. I hope so. I hope they have. But I want to say there's no apologies. And before God, I make this statement right now. If Queen Elizabeth of England was sitting in this building tonight, I would pray for the grace of God not to change the message one fraction. The same message. Whether it be the king on the throne, the emperor, the president, the premier, I don't know what your idea of someone lucky might be. Or if we go down into Cordova Street and Powell Street, see the dreg, what we consider dregs of humanity, the message is the same. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, and that we've all sinned. And if anyone is ever going to be in heaven, it's going to have to be through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only that one way and that one way alone. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for our sins to be testified of in due time. We're seeking to testify him, just telling you about Christ, pointing you to him. We couldn't save you. You couldn't save yourself. I couldn't save me. But we're pointing you to the Lord Jesus and urging you to put your trust in him. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gives he the authority to become, what a dignity, what a prestige, what an honor. To them gave he the right to become sons of God, to them that believe on his name. God help you to do so tonight. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we bless you for the power of the gospel. We put our confidence in the message of Scripture, our Father, and call upon thee to reach and save souls. Thank thee for what is done in our own life. Bless thee, our Father, for the man at thine own right hand, who is willing to leave heaven, come down to this scene, and suffer and bleed and die on our behalf. Thank thee, our Father, that we can preach your risen Christ, know that he's soon to return, and urge sinners to trust him while there's time. Bless the message here tonight. Remember our brethren at Fairview, Mike Effort. Bless their saved souls, we pray. We'll be careful, our Father, to give thee the glory, for we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen.